fighting for America.
And I think I need not remind anyone on this committee, like any American, Sergeant Bergdahl has rights, and his conduct will be judged on the facts, not political hearsay, posturing, charges, or innuendo.
Fighting for Idaho.
Hoping for the sake of the family that you all will go away and leave the family alone, let the process work, and let them get back to their normal lives.
Fighting for you.
Kevin, we cannot go on like this with nothing except speculation up in the media. I mean, he deserves better. We deserve better.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
I appreciate the chance to be with you again, brother. I look forward to being back out in Idaho. Thanks, Semper Fi.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Thank you all for joining us. We're joined by Sheriff Richard Mack. Sheriff Mack, good to have you back here in Idaho.
Well, thanks a lot, Kevin. It's good to be back with you.
You know, the last time we saw you, you came in studio for our Saturday appearance, and then you had a big rally with the 912 folks. It's amazing how the country has changed since your last visit. Well, you've been to Idaho since then, but since last we visited, it's scary how much the feds are taking over.
Well, that is for sure. I'm actually right in the middle of finishing a book that deals with that very topic because I wrote the book, The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope, 5.5 years ago it came out. And I'm addressing this new book because the very thing you just said, what in the world has happened to America in just the last 4 or 5 years? And it is astonishing. And I see on the news this Becky Gerritsen, who was attacked by the IRS because of her beliefs and that she tried to form a Tea Party group. And now we have our wonderful IRS who has lost the emails. The dog ate the emails. The dog ate the homework. And they are actually lying and covering this up. And everybody knows they're lying. And they're lying to Congress, which is against the law, and they've continued to promote this cover-up and charade, and nobody doing anything about it. And my belief is that the state of Idaho, your sheriff, I believe his name's Gary Rainey in Ada County, and every other sheriff in this country should be putting the IRS on notice and all the other federal agencies that you're not going to do that to the people in my county. You're not going to come in here and commit crimes. You're not going to come in here and abuse citizens, victimize people. And if Congress won't stop your criminal acts, the sheriffs of this country will.
You're right. Becky Gerritsen of the Wetumpka Tea Party, really in Wetumpka, Alabama. So we're not talking about the big city here. And, you know, Sheriff Mack, I mean, if I go into a court of law and you're prosecuting me and all of a sudden the prosecution loses their homework. There's going to be some people held accountable for that, right?
Yes, and accountability is the problem that just is the commodity that just doesn't seem to exist in Washington D.C. anymore. They'll go through all these dog and pony shows, and then they'll pretend to the American people that we did something about it, because these dog and pony shows regarding the IRS have happened several times. And the worst one was 1997 when Jennifer Long testified as a current employee of the IRS, as an IRS agent. She testified that the IRS routinely fabricated evidence against American citizens who they determined would not be able to defend themselves financially. So they would just have to pay the money and get out of it as best they could, make monthly payments, or go to jail or go to prison. And this is what the IRS was doing routinely. And this agency does these types of crimes. Nobody in Washington, D.C. stops them, not your congressman, not your U.S. senators, not the president, of course. He's not going to. And the crimes are just perpetuated over and over. And we now have become so used to the legion abuses and crimes of the IRS that we all think, well, oh yeah, that's what they do. That's what they have to do. And if the lawmen of this country don't stand against this lawbreaking, then they are part of the problem as well.
And there we have it. Sheriff Mack with us, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Sheriff Mack, now there have been reports about you down at the Bundy Ranch. We had a chance to go down there ourselves, the only show in America that went down there and talked to Clive and Bundy and Eamon and the rest. Your thoughts on what happened down there at the Bundy Ranch?
Well, it was an amazing American historical event, and I believe with all my heart that the federal government hiring the paid mercenaries to shoot people there really were going to shoot unarmed men and women. They totally intended that. I was on I-15, stuck behind the traffic that was stopped to the turnoff to Bunkerville, and one of our CSPOA members, a 15-year law enforcement veteran, called me, and he was up at the front trying to get to the makeshift corral to get the cows out, and he said, "Sheriff, they're going to kill us. They've told us they're going to kill us, and they're going to kill us." And he said, "Please just tell my wife I love her." And then I started, after that, he hung up, and I started seeing all sorts of emergency vehicles go to the scene, highway patrol and ambulances, and I thought, oh, they've already shot people. This thing's really fallen apart. And then I found out from Ammon Bundy, as you just mentioned, what really happened at the scene, and it was just a total miracle that somebody didn't get shot. But one of the federal agents, one of the BLM, right at the most tense moment where they were being warned that they were going to be shot, one of them got a hammer and banged on the metal gate. It sounded like somebody was firing. And they were confident that they were going to get, with that banging of the hammer on the gate, that they were going to get one of the protesters to be nervous enough to start shooting once they heard that. And so they could have, they tried to manipulate them into shooting so that they could start mowing people down because they could prove that the protesters fired first. And that's the kind of subterfuge that existed there. And if it hadn't been for Deputy Tom Roberts sticking his neck out and putting himself in the way, he put himself literally in between the protesters and the shooters, and he said to the BLM and the paid mercenaries, "You guys are better than this. You don't want to be on film the rest of your lives and having your children and grandchildren watch this film where you're killing unarmed people." And then he got the BLM to back off. He got the protesters to back off. And again, this is just a deputy sheriff. This is not the sheriff. The sheriff did not do his job there. He's one of the worst sheriffs in America. He's one of the most corrupt sheriffs in America, Sheriff Gillespie. And he was actually chosen to be the National Sheriff's Association Sheriff of the Year about 5 or 6 months ago, which just shows you the politics that are involved in these stupid things that go on in America. And it's just astonishing what our government gets away with. But they almost got away with murder there at the scene, and Deputy Tom Roberts stopped it. And I totally will say this to my grave, that the Bundys were American heroes. They stood for what they believed in. They stood for what's right. And the other makeshift corral that the federal government did there, anybody supporting the federal government in this, then you support a BLM, an out-of-control Obama administration that makes a corral for people and cows, but for people where they could exercise their First Amendment rights. Now, what if they had done that to the press, told the press, "You have to be in this corral in order to be able to practice your job and to do what you're doing, to try to report on this. You have to stay in this corral. And if you don't stay in this corral, you will be arrested." That's exactly what they told the Bundys. That's exactly what they told the other protesters. And I had every intention of violating that law. And if I had gone to jail, I would have gone to jail. But I do not go into any federal corral to exercise my right to freedom of freedom of speech. And that's exactly what the BLM did, and this administration did, and Harry Reid did. And for anybody to say that the federal government was correct in how they handled this, and the Bundys were in the wrong, and they should have been paying their fair share of grazing fees, this is ridiculous that this whole thing came about because cows eat grass on public lands. Ridiculous and absurd, and people almost died for it. And why don't they issue a report as to how much money they spent, who they hired to be there, who was actually there, and how much this cost the American taxpayer for this ridiculous charade?
Sheriff Richard Mack with us. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Sheriff Mack, there have been allegations that you were organizing folks, women and children, up front there so that they would be shot. How do you respond to those allegations?
Well, the first thing is I say this. Who would be worse, the person that put women up there. Of course, children were never even in the conversation. That word never even came up. The press made that up. But the point I was trying to make is women were up at the front. Nobody put them there. They were there. They were butt kickers. These women were extremely brave. But who's worse? They always said that they weren't going to shoot anybody and that our government could be trusted. Anybody could have put the Disneyland princesses up front. If they're not going to shoot anybody, what would it matter who's up at the front? And no, I never did put anybody up there. What I was saying, and totally misunderstood, and I may have said it wrong, but I know that the entire quote wasn't there, is that these paid mercenaries in BLM were ready to shoot anybody who was up at the front. And if we had put women up at the front, they would have been shot just like anybody else. And it would have been on, and I even said this, it would have been on worldwide news that this American government is so out of control that they were ready to shoot unarmed women who were up there at the scene. Isn't that what we should be focusing on? This United States government was ready to kill unarmed women who were up there at that ranch. And that's what I find so astonishing. And that I'm the bad guy here, not the person pulling the trigger, but I am. And I'm the most peaceful guy in the world. I only went there with one thing in mind, to keep the peace and to violate the corral where they had put American citizens for freedom of the speech, And so, you know, that was never my intention. It was never anyone else's intention. But, yes, women were on horseback, cowgirls, releasing those cows after everybody bowed their heads in prayer for protection and thanking the good Lord that nobody had already been killed, as was intended by these rogue federal agents. And that they violated every law and every constitutional precept that imaginable, and that the only thing afterwards is the media, the mainstream media, is saying, "Oh wow, you know, they were going to put women up at the front. How horrible!" Well, if nobody was going to be shot, what difference does it make?
Sheriff Mack, it's interesting when you bring up the media. We had a unique perspective because, like you, we did go down there. We did talk to Clive and Bundy, and it was amazing to me the incredible smear job that was done on him based on his comments that were taken out of context. He addressed those issues with me, but it seems if the feds want to get you, if they can't ruin you, the media will.
Yeah, they were race baited by the New York Times. And, one of my favorite American statesmen, Alan Keyes, has said for decades very similar what Clive Bundy said that day. And it was not disparaging to blacks. It was disparaging to the American system that we now have, the entitlement system and the welfare state. But he should have said all Americans. We're all slaves to this system. And this is what Alan Keyes, the way he put it. The only difference between today's slavery and the slavery of the old South is that at least the plantation owners paid for the chains. That I totally believe. We are all slaves to this national government, to the horrific, ridiculous debt that they have placed upon us and our children and grandchildren. And if we don't recognize the enslavement of this administration and of this government, then we're never going to get out of it. And the worst thing is that you're a slave and you don't know it. And so that's exactly what's happening to us. And another part of the slavery is in this country is that we submit and subject ourselves to a government who is forbidden from exercising gun control in this country. And George Mason, a founding father from Virginia, said the best way to enslave people is to take away their guns. And that's exactly what's happening in America today. We have 20,000 gun control laws in this country. We have to submit to their background checks before we're allowed to exercise our right to keep and bear arms. And even yesterday's ruling, or day before yesterday, from Elena Kagan from the U.S. Supreme Court says, if we allowed people to do straw purchases, then it would undermine the policies and programs of the federal government to trace gun ownership in this country. They're not dealing with a constitutional issue. They're supposed to, but but they don't. They're talking about programs and policies of the federal government to trace guns. And that is not a constitutional issue. In fact, it's an unconstitutional issue. And this administration and this Supreme Court will continue to back policies and bureaucrats and regulations until the cows come home, excuse the pun. And this is a situation the American people and the people in Boise, Idaho, and across this country must address and must recognize. If you don't recognize the enemy, there is no way you can stop an enemy you don't know.
Gain your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning as we continue on. Phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Sheriff Mack, Sheriff Richard Mack with us. Sheriff Mack, for people that aren't familiar with your story, how did you become, well, the national figure that that you are?
Well, I did something really crazy when I was sheriff in Arizona. I admit it right off the bat. It was absolutely crazy. It was 20 years ago, this past February, that I actually filed a lawsuit against the Clinton administration regarding gun control, and I filed on the 10th Amendment. It was the most powerful 10th Amendment state sovereignty, states' rights case in the history of our country. And I never anticipated it would actually go to the United States Supreme Court. I never thought it would make it. But six other sheriffs from across the country, none from Idaho, but one from Texas, one from Louisiana, Mississippi, Vermont, Wyoming and Montana, one from each place, even just one from Texas out of 254. Seven out of the 3,100 sheriffs in America fought this battle against the Clinton administration to, one, stop the gun control associated with the Brady Bill, and two, to put them back in their place and let the, and make sure they realize that they cannot commandeer sheriffs or other public officials in the states to enforce federal laws. And we are not their puppets. We are not their servants. In fact, quite to the contrary, the federal government is the servant of the states. We formed the federal government, but this whole thing has evolved, and the monster Frankenstein in Washington, D.C. has completely turned on us and definitely has started to attack us now, and we are the boss. The decision went, like I said, the decision went all the way to the United States Supreme Court, and we won. And it ended up being that Sheriff Prince from Montana and I were at the Supreme Court together in December of 1996. The decision was rendered in June of 1997, and it stated emphatically that the federal government does not have this authority. They do not have the jurisdictional power. They do not have the constitutional power to commandeer the peace officers of the 50 states, and that we, the states, are not subject, this is a quote, we are not subject to federal direction. And so once you find out that the law is really on our side and that states are sovereign, and in fact the case over and over said that the states retained an inviolable sovereignty. Well, if Idaho was actually inviolably sovereign, do you think maybe they'd be able to at least control their own geography, their own resources, their own land, their own farms, their own ranches, their own education, their own health care, for God's sakes? But no, the federal government wants to micromanage every facet of our lives, and therein also lies the slavery that I believe that has been promoted and perpetuated by our own federal government. And the Bundy Ranch situation was just another incident of the hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of times that the federal government overreaches its authority and nobody does anything about it. Well, this time the Bundys did, and there were seven sheriffs who did in 1997, from 1994 through 1997. And yes, I was the sheriff that started all that.
Sheriff Mack, how close are we to losing the republic, or have we lost it already?
I don't believe we've lost it, but I believe it's hanging by a thread. And we've got to take some action, and it's got to be strong, peaceful, and we can't do it without local officials. We cannot do it without the sheriff. drawing the line in the sand and telling the federal government there's just a few things you're not going to do here. We actually have a resolution at our website, CSPOA.org. That's Constitutional Sheriffs Peace Officers Association. Go to CSPOA.org and go on the front page. It'll say LISTS, L-I-S-T-S. Hit, click on LISTS, and you can get that resolution yourself. There's eight abuses from the federal government that sheriffs and public officials from this country put together that we will no longer tolerate. I believe that we need to put the federal government on notice with that resolution. We have hundreds of people that have already signed it, and we're getting more every day. And we actually had Craven County Republican Party vote by a huge majority, almost unanimously, to endorse. They passed a resolution to endorse our resolution. And so this is taking hold. The people of Idaho need to make sure that their sheriffs and county commissioners and others get a copy of this, get them to sign it, turn it in to us, and let's take back America. Again, this is a peaceful process, and if we have local officials, especially our sheriffs, who are the ultimate protectors of the county, if they get involved in the freedom process, we can take America back county by county, sheriff by sheriff, and state by state, and it will be a peaceful process. If they don't, I don't believe there's any way that we could win or keep this movement for freedom peaceful.
Sheriff Mack, we appreciate it. If people want more information, what's your website?
CSPOA.org. CSPOA.org. Memorize that. There's five letters. CSPOA.org. I also have a personal one that's SheriffMack.com. But the one I really promote is CSPOA.org because it's all about a solution. We're not just talking about all the horrible things going on, which we could do all day, as you very well know. But we're providing a solution to everything that concerns us about the preservation of our God-given liberties.
Thank you, Sheriff Mack. We'll have to have you back.
All right. Thanks a lot, Kevin. Appreciate it very much.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's our friend Sheriff Mack. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
On Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men.
Men, 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 manly men.
Men, 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 manly men.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Dave Burnett with us for the Manly Man segment. Good morning, Dave.
Hang on there. I got to turn on my mic, big dummy. Good morning, Kevin.
Good to have you with us here at 580 KIDO. Hard to believe that Bo Bergdahl's been home. Has it even been a month? And they're already talking about two movies?
That doesn't surprise me at all. There's people who have things brewing in the back of their mind all the time for movies. They'd probably been thinking about it that as soon as this kid's released, we can make a movie. So it's probably been in the works even before it's released. So that doesn't surprise me. In fact, there'll probably be more than just two when they're all done.
What's your best idea that you thought of before anybody else and you didn't do it and you saw somebody either take it to fruition or go public with the idea and have some success?
That's a hard one. There's a lot of things I've gone, why didn't I do that? But nothing jumps right out to say that I should have done this.
Right.
I should have invented the internet, but I didn't. But no, there's a lot of things that, you know, you think, why didn't I do that? That's so obvious.
Yeah, no, the reason why is because there are a couple things that I've passed on as far as projects that, you have to, I think, to be successful, you have to love something. And maybe it isn't. Like, all these people that are making money off Facebook, and I continue to study them and emulate them to some degree, but they look at Facebook like a lot of people look at their hobbies, mm-hmm, or something that they're radical about. Like, you remember Howard Green, he loves the remote control race cars or planes or something like that. That's his passion, or riding dirt bikes or something like that.
Right.
And I've never been able to replicate the love that I have, the sickness that I have for this business here at 580KIDO. Well, when I was working mall maintenance, maybe. I just loved cleaning those toilets. However, and that's true, I was just as goofy about mall maintenance as I am this. However, to replicate that somewhere else, and I think to be successful, you have to. For instance, I don't know if you remember that, what was it, a couple years ago, that I said that the story that really needs to be told is a Bo Bergdahl documentary. You remember that? I was talking to Liberal Steve a few times.
Maybe, yeah.
And then before he, and I talked about this on the air, and I thought this would be a story that no one else would tell, blah, blah, blah. And it's always been in the back of my mind. And granted, these movies aren't going to be documentaries. They're going to be docudramas or what have you. But I thought to myself, now you've seen Michael Moore's first and best movie, Roger and Me. Do you remember that?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. Do you agree with me that was a pretty good movie?
That wasn't bad. And then he went downhill from there.
Well, Roger and Me and Fahrenheit 9/11 certainly were very different movies, or in Bowling for Columbine. But back to Roger and Me, where he would go, he was searching for Roger Smith, the chairman at GM at the time, and he would try and chase him around. And, you know, you almost wanted to do a documentary searching for Bo Bergdahl, where you would go to Washington, you would, you know, go to Pakistan, you would go to Haley, not in a humorous way, but really try and underscore that. And I thought, well, if you could get a deal with HBO, but to do those things, that's not even a job. That's a lifestyle, because for the hour or 40 minutes that you put in there, all of a sudden, you know, that's 5 or 6 or 10 hours of film at least, and then you've got to cut it up, and that's not cheap.
No, and it's not. People think it's easy to do. It's not as easy to do as one might think. That's why everybody doesn't do it.
By the way, we have, you know, I don't know if Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, wants to actually sponsor this program, but once again, he's explaining to me the Bundy situation, but I will give it to him gratuitously. This program, section of the program sponsored by Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, because he's already giving me tax clarifications on Facebook, then apologizing for not giving me his usual 3-hour verbal review of the program because he has depositions to prepare today. So, Alan, we appreciate the full disclosure this morning.
And whoever you're doing the depositions for, they appreciate you spending time on that.
Yes, exactly.
instead of these two slappies here.
Yeah, so it's we have a multi-talented listener pool here at 580KIDO. But back to the Bergdahl thing, I find it fascinating that it's, I think the Michael Hastings movie is going to be something like Burning Down the House. We've talked about that, well, we'd say seems like for years, but we have talked about that piece and how damning it was to Bergdahl's cause.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, you know, what they do. One of them, I guess, based off of the Rolling Stone article.
So yeah, the Michael Hastings piece, yes.
Yeah, we know what slant that'll take. The other one, you know, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what the other is. We'll wait to see. I always kind of take all of those with a grain of salt.
And I wonder, and I know Channel 7 is running with this at 580KIDO, and I was talking to our friend Kiki down the hall, because Kiki was quoting me for his blog.
Is that his last name? I didn't realize that.
About O.J. Simpson.
Oh, uh-huh.
And since I'm an old guy, he was going over things with me about, you know, what was it like to be around back then.
Well, he knew what it was like to be around back then.
Being the Bronco chase and all.
He's like 74, isn't he?
But he looks good.
That he does.
If you're, you know, never mind. But I don't want to get myself in trouble there. You know, just comparing the feeding frenzy of today with Bergdahl to Simpson. And, you know, I know Channel 7 is really sending a lot of resources there. But I wonder if people really want to know the latest on Bo Bergdahl, or this is just something that the media is going, would it be better off if, hey, when there's a breakthrough, great, but that he's watching television, is that really news? And the only reason why I say this here at 580KIDO, because I've been lost into myself, the Duke thing, I, you know, covered that, blah, 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 broke the story nationally, and I would feed people that every darn day. And the local audience is a little different from the national audience. The local audience is like, eh, because they've been around the story so long, they're a lot quicker to fatigue.
Yeah, I see the Duke story here was kind of like, oh, okay. It was one of those passing, oh, okay, well, that's interesting.
Not in the rest of the country.
Well, in that area, it was huge. But, again, the further out you get from it, the less important it is.
No, I disagree with you on that.
I don't.
Well,
in what way?
Because it was on Good Morning America every darn day. And for you to say it wasn't a big deal here, well, I'm not talking about here. I'm talking about being at the epicenter of the storm, that it blinds you to being objective. And I can tell you, in that case, when you're getting calls to do network shows every day, sometimes six live hits a day, and your day job, and at the courtroom, and everything else, your focus tends to go down. And as far as not being a big story, I will tell you that it's one of the biggest cases around in the past 10 years. People still talk about it to this day. You have three young men whose lives were ruined. Now, if you don't think it was big, think if the roles had been reversed, if you had a white exotic dancer or stripper falsely accusing three minority or African-American or black students on the basketball team of rape that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
How big would that have been?
Again, and you can disagree with me, I think stories like that, for unless you're at the epicenter of the story, it's a blip on the radar.
Then why was the national news covering it? Why is the national news covering it?
So is Bo Bergdahl a huge story?
It is.
I think for most people, if you go ask the average person, if you go ask the average person in Indiana, it's a blip on the radar.
I think you're wrong. I think you're wrong about that. And, you look at the coverage each and every day, you have people talking about it. Now, is there interest here as much as there is in Indiana? I think it's a huge story. I was talking to a national booker last night that does work with everybody talking about Bergdahl. It's a big story. I think the local audience here is different, though, from the national audience.
Well, I think definitely it is. I mean, there's different emotional ties. But I come back to, and I keep saying, in the scope of the average person out there, pick a spot on the map, so many of these stories are nothing more than a blip on the radar, an evening news story. Mm-hmm. If you go to Des Moines today and ask them the name of Bo Bergdahl's parents, they couldn't tell you.
I bet they could describe him.
Well, yeah, he's a crazy Muslim guy with a beard. That's what they'd say. That's the impression left. But we are such a scratch-and-sniff society. I bet if you were to open the phones up right now, nobody could tell you the names without looking it up of those three guys at Duke involved in that case. Nobody could tell you a first name on that.
Yeah, but here's the deal with that. Nobody could tell you the first names of that. The reporters couldn't tell you. Look, I know their names. Let's see. Colin Finnerty, Reed Seligman, and David Evans.
See, you were at the epicenter of that storm.
Mm-hmm. But, to this day.
But in reality, for the average Joe driving to work, so many of these stories are just, on the news,
but here's,
and then it goes away.
Here's the other one, though, at 580KIDO, and I don't want to – thank you, Alan. You're right. I'm not a TV programmer. Thank you for pointing that out. Alan L. Morton, attorney at law.
See, Alan probably agrees with me.
No, he doesn't. but back to the point here at 580KIDO, he just thinks that it's, whatever. Alan, go back to work. Quit bothering me on Facebook. But I don't want to get too far into this, but I think the stories kind of resonated, and maybe not specifically, but how many people that you know have a kid Bo's age or had a kid in college? Maybe that's the appeal of these. Maybe not specifically, but generally. Hey, well, or had someone that served in the military. Now, I go back to just the overall effort, and I guess I'm kind of proving your point here, which really bothers me at 580KIDO. Think of the amount of support that this community gave, and communities like it, all across America during the war effort.
Mm-hmm.
And we seem to forget that stuff. You know, I'm thankful that, and hopefully these files won't be blown up by the Skynet here at 580KIDO, but just the playing of these clips of going to Iraq and hanging out with these people and the letters and the care packages and the we support the troops and the troops coming home. That was a big darn deal. And yet today, well, it's the Vavazuzu. It's the World Cup.
Blip
it's
on the radar.
Well, it's that, and Glenn talked about this yesterday, that, we've gone on, it's like, and he didn't say the freak show. That's a Kevin Miller term. But he talked about one event, and it used to last for a week or 2 weeks. And now it's one event. Think of what we've gone through this week. We've gone through, we've gone through Bergdahl in America. We've gone through Iraq breaking down. Now, coincidentally, just like Bo Bergdahl, we've captured the ringleader of Benghazi. We have no tolerance for owning a story, we just go on to the next one. So what's after the Benghazi thing?
Wait a minute. We arrested a terrorist involved in that? Wasn't that a Republican hoax, lie, witch hunt?
Apparently, we've got the ringleader, so now we're going to bring him to justice.
Hmm.
By the way, let me see here. Available at 580kido.com is the latest from Fish-Faced Jimmy Fallon. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to predict something here, and I know you love agreeing with me, so I know you're going to agree with me right off the bat that Jay Leno's going to come back, and he's going to wipe the floor. He might not beat Fallon, but I bet he takes half of Fallon's audience.
It'll be interesting to see.
Because when you're reduced to little parlor gimmicks like this.
I like big butts, and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny that when a girl walks in with a itty-bitty waistband around thing in your face, you get sprung. Wanted to look tough, because you noticed that butt was stuffed. Deep in the jeans she's wearing, I'm hooked and I can't stop staring. Oh baby, wanna get with ya and take your picture. My homeboy tried to warn me that that butt you've got
me. Me so horny.
I like them round. And
what do you make of that one?
Just agonizing.
Everybody loves it. Oh, Jimmy, he did another one. Good Jimmy, Jimmy, Jimmy.
Let me prove you a point here.
Oh boy.
On things being a blip on the radar before we go to traffic. What's the name of the guy that was held hostage in Iran? From Boise. Can you think of his name?
Mm-mm.
Back in the 80s?
In the 80s? Uh-huh. No, that was before my time.
Oh, that was a big story. Can't remember his name.
You were typing it up on Google.
No, I'm not. Because I can't remember his name.
What were you typing up a minute ago?
It's not Terry Allen. I was entering in something into another station. Never mind.
I do know Terry Allen, though.
Yeah, it was around that time. Guy from Boise. Held hostage in Iran. Hmm. Blip on the radio. Sorry. Traffic now, Kevin, as you're coming out of Canton.
580KIDO. It is 559. Coming up, best-selling author Stephen Hunter on the Ukraine and his latest. Plus, much more from Fox News on the radio. 580KIDO. Serving Meridian.